Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Welcome everybody to the Tuesday Gear Garage Live Show. This is a show I do every week. I try to do every week where I just answer questions that have been submitted, talk about things I kind of want to talk about. If you have questions, please submit them through the comment section. I can answer them during the show or just comments. Comments are fun to respond to. We only really have one question this week, so this might be a really quick show, but I have a couple topics. The first one, I just want to talk about snowboarders. I know this is a paddling show, but what the fuck, snowboarders? Come on. Like, I'm only talking about one thing, I think, that bugs me, and it's when snowboarders get on the lift and ask, do you mind if I vape? Yeah, I'd mind if you vape for a couple of reasons. One, I don't want your vape smoke around me. Two, like, you're degrading your health, which we're all paying for through, like, I don't know, health insurance and taxes, but that's a whole separate topic. And three, you're already out of control, like, about to hit me already. Like, changing your mental space state isn't making it better. Like, I'm already scared of you hurting me on the lifts because you're not looking where you're going. By adding, like, mind-controlling substances like vaping, which I'm not sure what it does to you, but it can't be good. Yeah, I mind if you vape. You shouldn't ask. Just don't vape on the lift. It's pretty simple. I could go on and on and on about snowboarders, but we'll just leave it there for now. Move on to questions. And the first question is about, our only question is about Sotar valve placement. I'm having a Sotar raft built. It's a 12 foot, 6 inch non-diminished design. It'll be run as both an O-Rig and R2 powder raft. Sounds awesome. 12.6 is a cool length. Thank you for not diminishing the tubes. That's super smart. And if people are giving you a hard time about having non-diminished, just listen to them and move on. Like, I'm super smart. I'm trying to settle on valve placement. The standard Sotar fill valves are positioned on the tubes at 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock. If looking down from above on the boat, I see most of your NWRC boats have the fill valves at the bow and stern. What's the thought process behind placing them there? Do you see any issues with the standard Sotar placement? Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the standard Sotar placement or the air placement. And when you ask them why they do that, it has to do with where the baffles are. And it makes sense for them making the boat to put them in these places. And I call them like hide and go seek valves. You never know where they are. You're like, oh, where's the valve? Oh, yeah, that one's over here. That one's over there. And usually, we're pumping up our boats, and they're on in the river, and we're on shore. So you don't want a valve, like, on the side. It's hard to get to it if it's on the side of the raft. It's super helpful if some of them are on the ends, because then you can just stand on shore where there's dirt and use your pump to pump them up. Right. And you know where they are. They're on the ends of the boats. Right. Now, two of them will be on the other end of the boat. Yeah, you get to stand in the boat, but they're next to each other. And so when you're pumping up your boat, you just like have one person pumping and one person moves a valve from a different place. It's super efficient when you're adding air in the mornings or even during the day to know where your valves are, have them close to each other, and having at least two of them close to shore. It makes no, from a user perspective, having valves randomly placed throughout the boat or on the sides or just all spread out is just annoying. So I think, you know, I've worked with Sotar on some boat designs and they'll put them at the ends for me, but they want them in these like awkward, weird, hard to find places because somehow it makes it easier for them to do something. I'm not even sure what it is. But from a user perspective, yeah, two on, all of them are on the bow and the stern. You know where they're at. They're easy to get to. And if your boat wraps and you want to let air out, it's like you may not. Maybe if it's at like on top, on the side, it's easier to get to. But you don't know what your you don't know where the baffles are. So if it's at like 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, are the baffles like halfway in between or are they weird baffles, which they are sometimes? It's helpful to know if you're going to do tube deflation, what valve attaches to what baffle. And although it's hard to go out there and reach the ones on the very bow and stern sometimes, that at least you know it like goes with a quadrant, if that makes sense. So as you can tell, I feel strongly that valves should be at the bow and the stern for a number of reasons. And yeah, like definitely for our thought process, number one, we do overnight trips. And so, like I said, the boat is on the shore. And so if you want to add a little bit of air in the morning, it's the two that are on the shore, because you have two valves in the bow, two valves in the stern. The two on the shore are super easy to get to, fill the raft up. And then the two on the far side, you can get to them from one pumping position instead of like moving all over the boat trying to play hide and go seek with their valve. So yeah, that's it for that question. Great question. I love this question because it's, yeah, it's important to me. Okay. And the last thing I'll talk about is the Kokatat Maximus Centurion PFD. Somebody sent me a question about my thoughts and testing it. And Kokatat was nice enough to send us one. Like, I was pretty jazzed. Thank you, Kokatat, for sending us one of these PFDs. I've had one of these a long time ago. I think it was just the Kokatat Maximus. I like the name. Maximus is a cool name. And then I liked it okay. I didn't love it. I was never a huge fan of it. So I haven't tried it since. And I haven't really paid attention to the PFD. It's not been something on my list. The one thing I remember about the PFD was I didn't like hiking in it because it was kind of bulky. But for rafting, it wasn't bad. And my thing with PFDs now are two things. One, I think flotation is really good. I think we should have more flotation in our PFDs, especially for larger people. So, you know, if you're 200 plus pounds and you're using some like 16 pound Astor Green Jacket, probably not appropriate. Like, you need more flotation. You want more flotation. And so this one, the large, extra large, or whatever it is, XL by size, the XL double XL has 18 pounds, which is better than 16 and a half or whatever it is. And I noticed that they have them, there's flotation by size. So it said that the small had 16, the medium had 17, the extra large double XL has 18 pounds. The extra flotation is appreciated. And I think it's very hard for these PFD manufacturers to do that because every single size has to get approved, I believe. So flotation's big, so it has a little more flotation. I mean, I'd like 20 pounds, honestly, but I'll take 16. But the pockets are so important on PFDs. I don't think the manufacturers understand how important the pockets are to us, especially now that a lot of us are getting phones. And being thoughtful about where stuff goes. That's why I like the Palm Nevis so much. The pockets are spectacular on the Palm Nevis. And I feel like if some PFD manufacturer could nail the pockets, they would get all the business. And the closest has been the Green Jacket. The Green Jacket has great pockets, but this is maybe better. So first of all, it has this, instead of a clamshell pocket, this pocket you can just put things in. It's right here. That's easy to get to. This would be a great place for a phone, chapstick. I would almost, like, in my mind, this is like personal stuff. Chapstick, sunscreen, phone. Maybe my CPR Max goes in here. There's a little zipper pocket inside. Maybe, whoa, that's cool. I'm not sure I'd ever use it, but it's kind of cool. For organization, for stuff you hardly ever use. But that's sweet. And then it has this lower pocket, which I'm not sure why it comes undone like this, but it does. I'm not even sure if you can remove it, but who knows? Maybe it comes undone so you can get to the adjustments here. I don't know. I have no idea. But it comes undone. And this is another pocket, and this would be a great place to put your flip line that you can get to pretty easy, fairly easy. It's a little stiff in there, but your flip line could go in this pocket right here. Maybe if you like to carry carabiners, safety gear, this could be like safety pocket right here. It also has this nifty, if you can see right here, knife pocket or a little tiny pocket. I'm gonna have to undo this. This pocket right here, this has a magnetic closure, which is kind of cool. I actually was talking to another PFD manufacturer about helping them design a PFD, and we were looking at having a magnetic closure for a knife as well. And I guess it can, like having a magnet right here can somehow be a problem for people with pacemakers. So it's hard to put magnets on PFDs, I don't know. I poked that, figured it out. But this is like a cool magnetic knife pouch for knives, for like folding knives, I think. And so like this big, this is about as big as a folding knife as you would carry. This, by the way, is a crazy awesome river knife, super sharp. It's designed for EMS, but like great knife. It fits in here pretty well. You can fit it in and close the pocket, or you can even put the little keeper thing over the top. It's probably easier to get to like that. So this is here. It's in a place that's reachable equally by both hands, which if you look at a lot, like if you look at your PFD, wherever your knife is, some people can reach it really easily with their right hand, but not with their left hand because of where it's located sometimes. Or if it's like here and pointed out this way, you can't reach your arm around and pull it out as easily with the other hand. This is equally easy to get to with either hand because it's right here in the center. Really smart place for a folding knife, I think, is just right there. That's pretty cool. And I've always thought this was the best knife attachment for rafters especially, because it has this flap. If you're using the bear claw, for example, this is a great place to put a bear claw. I've seen people have bear claws here. This is firm. So if you're like trying to pull yourself into the raft, your knife end doesn't get caught on the perimeter line. So this is a really smart design for having this here for the bear claw specifically, or external river knife. So I forgot this PFD existed until somebody asked me a question and I started playing with it. And I'm going to boat with this for a few weeks, both kayaking and rafting. This could be the next, this could be like a go-to PFD for a lot of people. It's really well thought out. Maybe my old version, they probably redid all this because my old version wasn't this cool. My only hesitation with it potentially is it's just bulky, but I mean, that's what you get when you try to get more flotation. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to try it out and probably see some videos on it. And whoever asked me to demo or do a video on it, thank you, because it caused us to reach out and ask Pokutat to send us one to try out. So, anyway, so quick thoughts on this PFD. Looks super cool. A lot of nice additions on that thing. Okay. Oh, I see a few questions come up. Just got a saber tooth, and what are your thoughts on perimeter line? I've seen some go all the way around other than just sides. I think a perimeter line, I mean, I think all these little R2 boats or like whatever the shredder type boats, I'm seeing lines put everywhere. Like people are just like putting lines all over the place, which makes sense, but every one of these lines is a potential entrapment hazard. So like if you're going to add lines, make sure that they're providing you a value that overweighs the potential entrapment hazard. Having them on the side is in case you fall out. If you're R2ing, right, you fall out, you can grab the side and maybe use it to get back in. I think a lot of people on the Sabertooth go to the bow or the stern to get back in. So. And I think the Sabertooth, let's bring up the Sabertooth. Does it have handles on the side? Sabertooth. Like you're generally, I put wrapped in there. Sabertooth. So, by the way, these are sweet boats. And air sometimes doesn't put handles on the sides. Yeah, so there's no handle on the side. So if you were to fall out here, I'm going to make this photo big. If you were to fall out on the side, just to hold on to the boat. If there's a handle, I might be like, if you're just R2ing, a handle is probably enough, right? But since there's not a handle, you kind of have to have a line there to grab. You probably have to on the sides. On the bow and the stern, the question is, how did you get in the boat? Do you need some sort of line to get in the boat on the bow and the stern? And maybe you do. I don't know. It's hard. It looks like that's a big tube to climb up on when it's right side up. So my guess, yeah, I'm really curious how you get in this boat when it's right side up, because it's so narrow. If you try to get up on the sides, you might flip it over. And the ends look like it's really hard to get into, which also, like, I don't think raft manufacturers think very hard about how you get in their boats when you swim. It's not like something they care about. Or like when the boat's upside down, how you get on the upside down boat. That's not something they're thinking about. Like, so you have to kind of do your own work here. But handles are, yeah, I see that. So the handles are in the bow and the stern. There's a little, I know where they're at. They're those little metal things to carry it bow and stern. I like handles on the sides of these boats because that's something you can grab when you swim is a handle. And handles are bomber. When you install a perimeter line, the lines sag a little bit no matter how tight they are. So when you go to use them to get in, sometimes they push down like a foot, where a handle is pretty stable. You can just grab – it's very stable. You can just grab it and put yourself back in the boat. So I like handles to get back in the boat more than perimeter lines, honestly. But to get back to the question, thoughts on perimeter line, like just think, what are you going to use it for? And does that use create more safety value than the potential snag hazard that you've added to your boat? And don't just be adding lines everywhere just because you've seen somebody else do it, because those lines are hazards. And I think a lot of people that are adding those lines aren't aware of the potential dangers of getting caught in them. Cool. All right, here we go, another question. I have a 13-foot raft and I've been out a few times. I've rafted on the Gauley 2 times, but with guides. Question, do I need to get certified to go out on with my family and friends on smaller rapids? I don't think so. No, it's we're living in a free country. If you want to go take your raft out, I don't think there is a certification. You just maybe there is in West Virginia, but it's America. You're allowed to go put your family in danger as much as you want. I would give you some quick things to think about. One, make sure everybody has a PFD, a good PFD, a high flow PFD. Two, please don't drink while you're doing this or before you're doing this. Three, if the water's cold, you're going to need wetsuits or dry suits. And I'm not going to define cold, but if it's cold, you need wetsuits or dry suits. And four, don't just go by yourself with your friends in the boat. You need other boats for safety to help you get in. So like if you're just going to go out with your family and friends, if it's just one boat and there's 4 or 5 of you in there, if you all swim or the boat flips, rescue is not an easy thing to do. And this is like every year people do die this way because they're not thinking about what happens if we all flip. And if everybody's like an Olympic swimmer and experienced and it's easy water, you're probably fine. But if somebody's out of shape or doesn't know what to do or can't swim or there's a hazard, it's pretty dangerous. And that's where a second or third or fourth boat comes in. They can help use those boats to perform a rescue on the boat that flipped. So I would say don't just go out with one boat by yourself. I mean, when I'm looking at like how accidents happen, it's like, drinking, PFD, I mean, people are drinking, not having PFDs, cold water, just they're not aware of the dangers of cold water, and one boat trips. That's just like, if you cut those things out, it helps you be safer. But I don't know of any sort of certification you can get out there. But I would go out like, before you bring your friends and family, before you're responsible for others, you should go out with some like people that are, like, we're going to go learn how to do this. We're going to get some reps under our belt. Don't get practice with people that aren't ready for the kind of experience you're giving them, putting them in front of them. So one of my things I notice is people bring their friends, and their friends don't understand the dangers that they're getting put into. And so, like, you need to make sure you're really good at boating before you bring, like, innocent bystanders along. So go do it a bit. Make some friends, and when you know the river well and you're experienced and you can pull people back in and you've gotten better, then bring your family and friends. But again, this is America. So like if you want to put your friends and family's lives in danger, I guess you're allowed to. Okay. Cool. He's asking, do you need, okay, this is a Brisk raft too. Not sure if it's made, not sure where it's made. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've heard of these. I think they're pretty cheap. Yeah, Briss Raft. We can try to look it up. Briss Raft. I know I've heard of them. I think they're like really cheap. Yeah, like $1,500 you can buy on Amazon. That's nuts. This is a inexpensive raft you can buy on Amazon. It looks potentially adequate to float down an easy river. $1,000. Does that include shipping? Free delivery. $1,100 for a raft delivered. We'd receive it in 10 days. That is unbelievable. Yeah, it comes with the rope tied around it, it looks like. It's not that tight. Look at the valves. They're all on the sides there. There's a relief valve for the outer tube. The valves are on the side. One handle on the side. Yeah. Scott, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't want to be like, you don't need certification, but when I read accident reports, this is what it is. It's like a cheap raft. People are don't know what they're doing, just going out, hoping for the best. I don't have a lot of advice. There's a couple. You should maybe personally go to some sort of guide school to just like learn the basics. And there's several of them out east. You know, ACE has a great training program, ACE on the Gully. They do a number of classes. And I know a couple of their instructors. They're super solid instructors. Your training is probably going to be cost as much as your boat, but it's just invaluable. So I'd highly recommend some sort of training, especially if you're going to take people like family out there. Friends and family. So that's all the advice I have. Well, I think we did it. Thank you all for watching another episode of the Gear Garage Live Show. This is something I'm trying to do every Tuesday. We're answering questions. If you have questions, you can go to Whitewater Guidebook. I'll bring it up real quick. And you can submit them during the whitewaterguidebook.com. And you just go to Gear Garage tab and ask a question. That's the easiest way to submit a question. I think permits are going to get announced soon, and so we're about to get a barrage of questions about, like, am I able to do the Middle Fork in June? I got a permit on the Rogue. How do I hire a guide? Which you can't. I got a permit for Hell's Canyon. How do I make friends? Like, all the questions we get when people get permits. So it's about to get really busy here, I think, on the show. So if you have questions, submit them this way, and I'll see you all next week.